Good morning and welcome to all of you that are here today for friends, friends, family, visitors, home folks that came home. We're glad for all of you. And we're glad for you moms. We're glad that today is Mother's Day and that we can celebrate Mother's Day. It's a special day. And even the government, the people of the world, everywhere, recognize today as Mother's Day. Someone has said, and I remember hearing Sam say many times when he was working in prison, of they sold more cards on Mother's Day than at any other time of the year. And I read also somewhere where someone was observing next to a card shop. And he was at another store, and his card shop was next door, and he noticed this rough-looking little group of boys, and they're all filing into the card shop, and he knew what they were after. And so it's a day when the tough of the toughest many times admit and recognize and think about their mother. There's something about within each of us. There's a special place in our hearts toward our mothers. You can talk about, you can act unruly toward anyone else, but you don't do that against someone's mother. And so, mothers, today it's your day, and I hope you enjoy your day. You deserve this day, this recognition that we give, that the world gives, that the children give to their mothers, an honor for what you are and what you're doing. The pampering and all that goes with it, enjoy it. But just remember, Father's Day is coming. Were there any breakfast in bed this morning? Well, I guess you guys all were slack like me. My wife got up way, way early. I was not even in a mood of thinking to get up, although I did get up soon after. I knew it wouldn't work anyway. Her breakfast is different than mine, but anyway. But I'm reminded also, just as Sandra shared and Dale prayed in a prayer as well, those that, you know, today for us that had a good home, a good mother, it's a happy time, and it's a joyous time. But I also realize it's not that case, or that's not been the case for everyone. I don't know of anyone here necessarily, but there are many people in the world, and so I want to be sensitive to that. And I was reminded years ago, one time I was preaching on the home. And of course, we're always talking as a family unit, and that's where I was focused. And afterward, there was this young lady that came up, and she was somewhat frustrated. She was a single mother. And where does she fit in this picture? She felt left out, and she wasn't just accusing me, but this is what happens. Some of those people fall through the cracks. Then also, a year or more ago, I've heard some criticism about when people that have a good mother and talk about in front of others that haven't had a good mother relationship, and this person was offended by that. And so it's sort of a precarious place to be, and yet I don't think we should be ashamed or necessarily quiet of speaking of our mother when we had a good mother relationship. I think we need to do that. And those that haven't, then I think they should be glad that someone else did and should rejoice with them and try to make a good relationship with their children. But anyway, leave that aside. I realize that, and there are also those that would like to have children, as was mentioned, and for some reason cannot. It's a difficult time for them as well. Also for some mothers that have had, it creates painful memories for some that have had wayward children or have wayward children. Or some of mothers that have lost a child, a young child. I realize it also can bring, it can bring pain and hurt to them as they remember that, not having that child to love and to show love to them. But as I look at, and I want to address you as mothers today and encourage you for the role that you play. Someone has said, and I'll probably repeat it again, that one of God's highest calling is motherhood. I think the way they stated it was, God's highest calling is motherhood, and maybe it is. I'm not trying to take away from that, but as I thought through that and as I meditated on it, I wasn't quite sure if I was ready to say that, but it is a high calling. I want you to know that, and I do appreciate the good mother that I had and that Reuben had as well, and that the memories that I have and I cherish. So many things, and I thought of you children, I hope that you told your mother, if you didn't do before the day's over, what you appreciate about your mom and that you love her and on what she means to you. Because one day you'll get old and older, and your mother gets older, and she won't be here that you can do that. There are things that I wish I would have as a child. I didn't think about it, I don't guess. That I wished I would have told Mom more of the things she did and thanked her for it. I didn't appreciate it. I took it for granted. And today I see what a mother does, and I want to be more sensitive in appreciating that to my wife, of what she does for me and what she has done for our children and does for our grandchildren as well. So it's a subject that sometimes we wrestle with. I wondered, where was I going to go for a scripture? And I'm thinking, what can I say that hasn't been said? This has been preached for generations, for years. I don't know the last time I did. I don't remember. But at the same time, there's a lot of women in the Bible that we can go to for example and so on. But my mind went to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. It's the only one verse that I'm going to read today. And it's talking about Timothy's mother. And it really doesn't say much about her. So there's not a lot, but there are some things I want to draw from. And so I've titled this A Mother's Influence, 2 Timothy 1:5. And this is Paul talking and writing to Timothy. And he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded in thee also." I'd like to read that also in the Amplified. "I am calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. A faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am fully persuaded dwells in you also." What a great testimony I believe that this mother Eunice had on her son, because it was displayed through her son, Timothy. Paul could see this, and he was encouraging him in the gifts that he received from his mother and to live them out as well. There's a lot of things that we as men don't understand about motherhood, obviously, but I just want to give this one illustration I came across. This one day, this grandfather was pushing his 8-year-old granddaughter on a swing, something he loved to do. And she had a twin sister as well. And he knew that their mother, had been talking to them about childbirth somehow or other. And so anyway, as this grandpa was pushing his granddaughter, all of a sudden she says, "Grandpa, I'm not having children when I grow up. It hurts too much." So he was taken aback by that a little bit, but then he responded, he said, "You're right, it does. It does hurt. But after you see the beautiful baby and you hold it, you decide it was worth it." And then she, looking him straight in the eye, said, "You're a man, you don't know." And so I guess maybe that's one reason it's a little difficult. And in some other reading, I found where numerous pastors, young and old, found it difficult a Mother's Day to come up with a Mother's Day sermon for some reason. And for some, it probably isn't. But as I got into it, I actually enjoyed it, and it was not that hard. So, just a few words to encourage you. Timothy's mother, Eunice, as I said, the only thing it says, unfeigned love. And that is sincere. It's real love. It's not fake. It's not make-believe. It's not like some mothers, and unfortunately, not every mother is a good mother. I am aware of that. And I can think of, and my mind went right back to a number of years ago, this lady in not that far from here that drove her car into the lake and drowned her sons. And I thought of that. What would cause a mother to do that? How could a mother that loves her children, surely she loved her children. I don't believe she was a real bad person. I thought some here maybe had visited her in prison, and I don't know, maybe you did. I thought my wife had met her, but she says she didn't. What drove her to that point? I know that sometimes you ladies, you mothers, do get frustrated with your children, and you don't know what to do, and you don't know how to handle it, and you're ready to walk away, or maybe pin their thumbs to the clothesline. But in reality, you wouldn't even think of doing that. You would never think of harming them to that point. And yet, did this lady, this mother, cross the line? Somehow, she couldn't handle something, whatever it was. But with God in our lives, and with most of you, as I said, hopefully all of you, have had a good mother's influence on your life. Probably most of you don't think about day by day and the things you do, really what you're teaching and what you're implying and the way you conduct your life, the way you handle situations, what that's doing to your children. I don't know if you consciously think of that, probably not all the time. And that's okay. But you are. The things in the way you handle trials and troubles and situations is an influence on your children. They're picking up on how you're doing that. They may not even think about it, but down the road, when they get older, they will think about that. What did you do? So Timothy's mother's faith, and the way she displayed her faith, greatly influenced who Timothy was and what he did. Another sign it's right here on the Baptist Church in New Holland. It says, "Good mothers don't just give life, but they also teach them how to live." And it's very true. And also, I think, a very important part of motherhood. While I'm talking about this, in displaying your life and being a mother, is how you respect your children's husband will influence how your children respect you as their mother and others with authority positions in their lives. I think it goes a long way. As their teachers, as they go to school, as their employers when they go to work, how they respect them and listen and obey. And so you do have a very high calling. I realize it sounds like I'm putting the load on you moms. I am today because it's your day. But I also know that the greater responsibility in the parenting in the home is the father. And like I said, our day is coming. We will probably hear about that next month. But just as some examples in the Old Testament, Sarah, she called Abraham Lord. Now, I'm not saying you should go to your husband and call him Lord, bow down on your knees and so on. No, that I don't think is what that means. But she had a great respect for his position. And she saw how he and God communicated and how he listened and obeyed and followed God. And she had great respect for Abraham. And as I said earlier, the way you respect your husband and display that, your children pick that up. And they will, in turn, display that influence. So your influence is very great. It has far-reaching effects, primarily because of the time you spend with your children. You know, we dad, someone has said, a man's work is from sun up to sundown. And I'm going to say a mother's work's never done. I think it's a lady's work, maybe. I'm not sure how the saying goes there. But you mothers, your work's never done. If it's 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning and a child needs food or needs a diaper changed or needs something, guess what? Generally, not always. Sometimes you dads get to take a turn. But generally, it's a mom. The baby, the children want the mom. There's nobody can fix a hurt like a mom. We can several things I jotted down that you are as mothers. It's not a complete list by any means. But you are a nurse. You are a counselor. You're a spiritual advisor. You're an educator. You're an entertainer. Well, I skipped some here. You're a nutritionist. You're a transportation person. You're a peacemaker. And for the family, you're the accountant, you're the cook, you're the housekeeper, the laundry lady, the gardener, the yard keeper, and on and on. I'd like to look at Hannah also. There's several other things that words that popped out when I thought of a godly mother. Not only their influence, but the way Hannah in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel talks about, and you know that story, and I'm not going into it, but the way that she provided for her son, she gave her son, she promised her son to God if she had one, if he gave her a son, she would dedicate him to God in his service, and she did that. She carried it out. She didn't, after he was born, and she saw how lovely and cute and how much she loved him, and decided, you know what, I'm just going to keep him at home. Wonder what would have happened if she'd have done that. But she didn't. She was faithful to that promise. And so every year she took a little coat. As he grew older and older, he'd outgrow his coat, and she would make a new one and take it to him. So it showed her caring, loving, and providing that she did for him. I thought of the mother of Moses in Exodus 2. It talks about there the king had decreed that all the Israelite children, boys would be killed 2 years and under. But mother of Moses, she had this son, and she saw he was, I forget the word, but beautiful. I think she saw beyond that. I think God gave her a picture of what this is, a special little boy. and God provided an idea for her, and she made a little basket and put it in the reeds, in the water, and by the reeds on the by the shore. And you know the story, how that the daughter of the king came, and anyway, the mother got to raise Moses till he was older, and then he went on to be live in with the king. But he became the leader of the children of Israel. We think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, the things she went through. She was willing to face ridicule, embarrassment, risk of her, the proposal to be married. All that was on the line, but she was willing to do it because God asked her to do that special task. These mothers had great influence on their sons, and each became great leaders because they were devout, real, loving, caring, and faithful to their callings. Devout, I know we don't like that word in a sense, because it puts us on a different, we think it puts us in a unreachable level. It means religious, it means pious, but it also means earnest and sincere. And when I think of real, you know, we like, at least we men do, and I think you ladies do too. You want to appear as a perfect person, as a perfect mom, in a degree at least. But when you're real, you let your children see that, you know, there's times I just don't know. I don't know. And it's okay to tell them, I don't know. We'll have to pray about it. We'll have to think about it, and we'll have to see what we can do. It's okay for them to see that, because how you handle that will influence greatly how they handle trouble in their lives. Abraham Lincoln was supposedly, as far as I know, he said this. I'm only repeating it. No one is poor who had a godly mother. I remember my mother's prayers, and they had followed me. They have followed me. They have clung to me all my life. All that I am and hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. And George Washington said very similar words to that as well. So today, again, one of God's highest callings is motherhood. And I want to bless you mothers in that responsibility that you have. Even though your children get older and they leave the nest as such, they leave home, they have their own home, you're still a mother. You never quit being a mother. And if you're fortunate, you become a grandmother. And so it puts a different slant on your responsibility, but you still, your responsibility never quits to influence those that are under your care. This morning, I'd like all of you mothers to stand, you that can, just stand where you are, and I'd like to pray a blessing on you. God, thank you again today for this special day that we honor our mothers and the mothers of our children and grandchildren. I pray a blessing on each of them. And God, even we remember the mothers that we had that are no longer with us. God, we're grateful for the influence that they had on our lives. And God, thank you that today we have mothers that are diligent, and their desire is to please and serve you and to raise and teach and take care of their children the way that you designed. Thank you that you put within the heart of a mother this love, this strong love to care. And I thank you for that. I pray a blessing on each one, God, that is standing today. I know that they have days that they wander, and they are not sure how they're going to make it through the day. And yet, God, you're there to help them and to carry them and to encourage them. And so I pray, may you bless them in a special way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we all stand? And do you have a song, Calvin?